Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Really phenomenal. They had their own music. And then how about our little ones, our younger praise team, amen? And we got to empower the next generation, because God is not just a one generation God. See, God just don't care about just your generation. God is a multi-generational God. And so we have to empower every generation here. And that's what we're going to do at New Beginning. We're going to empower every generation, because that's what it's about. Hallelujah. So we are going to continue along in our series, our Church Rules series. Everybody say Church Rules. Church Rules. And we almost get into the end of it. Amen. We have two more Sundays in it. But this series has been really good. And I have been seeing this series play out in people's lives. I've been seeing this series play out in people's lives. So this week, we're going to use for a topic, Thou Shalt Not Be a Spiritual Bully. I could be a rapper, huh? Your Minds of Christ days, Thou Shalt Not Be a Spiritual Bully. I think we can make that work, make that rhyme. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 through 15, and once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. Thou shalt not be a spiritual bully. Spiritual bully. We have some spiritual bullies in the church today. We have some spiritual bully pastors. We have some spiritually bully people who sit in the seats. But you can't be a spiritual bully in love. You can't. It's impossible. It's like mixing oil and water. They won't mix. They will sit on top of each other because they won't mix. So Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. Once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 15. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 15. Are you there yet? Okay. If you're not, you can look at the screen. You can look at the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 15. Everybody there? And this is what it says. I'm going to read it for time's sake. So just hear me out. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version. This is what it says. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father." Romans chapter, this is what it says in the New King James Version. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, for this time. We thank you for this season that we are in. I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord God, with boldness and clarity and with effectiveness. I thank you, Lord God, that this message will fall on good ground. So we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you would, sit down. As you sit down, say, Thou shalt not be a spiritual bully. Spiritual bully. Today in church, there are spiritual bullies. There are people being manipulated by fear. People are being manipulated by fear. And the beautiful thing, when I was preparing this message, it was such a beautiful thing that God kept putting fear in there. And I asked God why. I was like, spiritual bullies and fear, what? And so in that Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 15, it says that God It didn't say God did not. It said God, that he had adopted us. So he didn't want us to go back into the bondage and the slavery of fear, because fear has a way of constricting you. Fear has a way of putting you in bondage, and it has a way of keeping you from receiving what God has for you. See, there are spiritual bullies who are pushing people further away from the truth because they're manipulating people with fear. Have you ever been approached by a spiritual bully? A spiritual bully, well, if you don't do this, then this will happen. Or if you do this, then this will happen. Or if you do this, then that will happen. See, spiritual bullies are really dangerous for the kingdom of God. And spiritual bullies disguise themselves as church-going people. They disguise themselves as wearing the nice clothes, as looking real good. They disguise themselves. And so a spiritual bully is really a threat to the kingdom of God, because what happens is when you are a spiritual bully, guess what happens? You push people further and further and further away from the truth. And so God doesn't want us to push people away from the truth, because when you know the truth of who God truly is, he sets you free from fear. When you know the truth of who God fully is, he sets you free from fear. See, that's why I'm not allowing this COVID-19 to put, because it's so easy. I don't know why I'm going this way, but it's so easy to go down that pathway of fear. You go on social media, that's fear. You go on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, The Weather Show, right? All of these, yeah, the weather channel too, right? We shutting down the weather, right? That's what's going to be the next shutdown, right? They're going to shut down the weather. That's impossible. You can't shut down what God has created. But there's so much fear. There's fear from your peers. There's fear at your workplace. There's fear in the grocery store. There's no toilet tissue on the aisle. There's no hand sanitizer. There's barely any water left. There's long lines at Sam's. We're in fear. And the virus that most people have caught in this pandemic is the virus of fear. Yes. They've caught the virus of fear. And that's what spiritual bullies do. They manipulate with fear. See, that's what's happening right now. We're being manipulated with fear. People are being manipulated with fear. Well, get your tissue, get your water, get your canned goods, get this, get that, get your hand sanitizer, because fear manipulates. See, people think that the opposite of love is hate, but the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. The opposite of love is fear. So the question comes, are you mature when it comes to the truth of God? Are you spiritually mature? Or are you a spiritual bully and lording your knowledge and lording what you know over others? Which one are you? And so number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Thou should not be a spiritual bully, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. Thou shalt not be a spiritual bully, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We have to really do something about spiritual bullies. We have to really take a self-assessment to see, are we a spiritual bully? Because are we manipulating people with fear? Are we telling people they have to behave before they get saved? Are we telling people they have to, before they come to church, they have to get right? Are we telling people this? Or are we telling people if they don't do this, they going straight to hell in a handbasket? What are we telling people? And so it's important that you take a self-assessment to see, am I a spiritual bully or not? Because God doesn't want you to be a spiritual bully. Because spiritual bullies, they don't love. Because if you truly love, then you would not manipulate people with fear. Everybody at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I know probably in every church in America today, this scripture has been being read. But it says this. It says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. See, most times, spiritual bullies like to manipulate people out of fear. Spiritual bullies like to manipulate people out of fear. Well, if you don't do this, and I said this before, if you don't do this, then this will happen. See, fear is like a trap. Fear is like a trap. Well, actually, fear is a trap. It's not like a trap. Fear is a trap. Because fear will trap you and it will make you afraid to really move and live and have your being in Christ. It will trap you. See, God doesn't want us to be trapped in the bondage of fear. Because when we're trapped in the bondage of fear, then what happens is our whole perspective becomes a fear perspective. We move panically. We got anxiety. We stressed and we're having all of this. And see, what happens is, when you are afraid, guess what happens? When you are fearful, guess what happens? Your immune system actually gets weakened when you are fearful. And so my thing is with this whole everybody buying toilet tissue, like when me and Lady Pilo went to the grocery store yesterday, we bought oranges. Because you know what oranges do? They make your immune system stronger. And so fear will make you not even see fear. Have you ever heard of fight or flight?
Yes.
Everybody heard of fight or flight?
Yeah.
So fight or flight. So what happens is when you are in fight or flight mode, your amygdala is activated. And so when your amygdala is activated, then what happens is when you are afraid, everything else shuts down. Your ability to reason, your ability to think straight, your ability to really have conscious thought. Your thing, when you are afraid and you are flight mode, you gone, you'll run. See, the fight or flight mode was really good for when people were getting chased by saber-toothed tigers. But today, the saber-toothed tiger is social media. Today, the saber-toothed tiger is spiritual bullies. Today, the saber-toothed tiger is the news. What's going on in the world? That's the saber-toothed tiger. So it's causing people to become flight mode, and their whole conscious thought is shutting down. But God did not give us a spirit of fear because he understands how fear works. See, God understands how fear works because fear will paralyze you. I'll give you a perfect example. One day, y'all like funny stories, right? So one day, me and General were cutting grass, right? And me nor General like snakes. I do not like snakes, period. Even seeing them at the zoo, like Lady Pilar, like, let's go look at the snakes. And I'm just like, So I'm not a big fan of snakes, right? So one day we were cutting grass, got a big yard. It was summertime, it just became summertime. And we had three black snakes in our yard. And so at my parents' house, they have these bushes right in front of the window. And so I was picking up paper, because I had to pick up paper before we cut grass. So I picked up some paper one day, and I picked up the paper, and instead of throwing it in the trash can, I threw it in the bushes, right? Don't tell Mom and don't tell Dad. I know she's listening right now. Yeah, he knew. So I took that. Can we turn the AC back on, please? I took that paper, threw it in the bushes. As soon as I threw it in the bushes, snake stuck his head out. I froze in fear. Froze. So I froze for a second, and I'm like, I got to get out of this. So I got out, run in the house. Get Dad. Dad come out like he already sweating. He hadn't even seen the snake. So we get some gas. This is a country thing. We get some gas and we throw some gas in the bushes. So gas isn't good for bushes because it kills the leaves. And so he started throwing the gas in the bushes. So the snake started running out. Snake tries to go in the house. It climbs up the stairs, tries to go in the house. So we end up killing the snake. Killing the snake, so we like, yes, it's done. All right, same day, I'm riding the lawnmower. We had to ride the lawnmower because we got a big yard, right? I'm riding the lawnmower, and another snake comes from my uncle's yard. A black snake comes from my uncle's yard. I get paralyzed on the lawnmower. My dad says, run the snake over. But I'm paralyzed because I am afraid of snakes. I am fearful of snakes. And so I freeze, and get off. So I get off, and he tries to run over the snake. And eventually, he runs over the snake. After about three or four turns, he runs over the snake. Now, he got some zigzags in his grass. Now, he used to always get on to me about make sure the lines are straight, because when I was cutting grass, I was just trying to just get in and out, because it was hot outside. So that's the second snake. The third snake, we are about finished. We're about finished. And right when you walk out of our garage, there's some bushes right here. And so one of the snakes was another black snake. So it was curling itself around the bushes. It was curling itself around the bushes. So I said, "Hey, Dad, there's a snake right there." As soon as he said, "Where?" he looked, and the next thing I know, he was in my uncle's yard. Now, if you can imagine, now my uncle's house is quite a few ways away. It's quite a few ways away. And so Dad was afraid of snakes as well, right? He did not like snakes. He was afraid of snakes. But fear has a way of making your perspective run away. See, God never wanted us to run away. See, when Jesus was here, he never ran away. Jesus confronted the issue right then and there. He never ran away from fear because he understood how fear works. See, we have to take that same approach when it comes to life, when it comes to church, when it comes to being spiritual, when it comes to being an ambassador for the kingdom of God. We can't manipulate people with fear, because if we manipulate people with fear, guess what's going to happen? We're going to push them further and further and further away from the truth. And God doesn't want us to push people away from the truth. He wants us to bring people in. And how do we bring people in? Through love and kindness. We bring people in through our approach being grace, but our identity being truth. That's how we bring people in, within a grace approach. So it's important that we have a grace approach. It says this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says this. It says, "Fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place." In the high place. What is a high place? So that means that God gonna come rapture me up like Elijah and I'm gonna be in heaven? No, that's not what it's saying. God is saying he's gonna take your mind and he's gonna put it in a place of peace. Because when your mind is stayed on God, he will keep you in perfect peace. See, a lot of reasons people can't have peace right now because their mind is focused on the fear. But when you take your mind and focus it on God, he will keep you in perfect peace. Because the scripture says, "He who keeps his mind stayed on me, he will keep you in perfect peace." So perfect peace is, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter how many cases are around me. I am in perfect peace because I place my confidence in God. See, we have to show people to place their confidence in God and not in man. See, when you place your confidence in God, then you are set free from what man can say about you. You are set free from what man can put as a pandemic or as an epidemic. You can be free from fear. See, I in this whole COVID thing, I'm just walking in fear. I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news because the news will inundate you. And guess what will happen? It will keep you in a fear mindset. It will keep you in a fear mindset. So don't be inundated by the news. Don't be inundated by the news. Stay focused on who God is. See, fear has the debilitating way of trapping you from really experiencing God's love. See, fear keeps you away from love. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. So when my life has been transformed by love, when my life has been transformed by God, because God is love, then I will start to spread that love to everybody that I come in contact with. I will spread that love to everybody I come in contact with. I won't spread fear. I won't spread fear. I'll spread love. So fear is not the antidote for effective evangelism. Fear is not the antidote for effective evangelism. So when you go out and tell people, "Oh, you're going to go to hell if you don't get right," that's a bad representation of who Christ is. That's a bad representation of effective evangelism. You become ineffective because you have just done something that God is not. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. So what spirit has God given us? He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So which spirit are you operating in? See, spiritual bullies usually operate in that spirit of fear. But when they operate in that spirit of fear, they are working out of they're working out of themselves. They're not working out of who God is, because there isn't fear in God. Because a perfect love casts out fear, right? And so when my love has been perfected in Christ, then it will cast out that fear. So it says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Turn there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. See, listen to this. When spiritual bullies manipulate out of fear, they have not been sanctified by the truth. When spiritual bullies manipulate out of fear, they have not been sanctified by the truth. So when you hear someone in the street saying, you're going to go to hell, you're going to bust hell wide open because of this, that, they're not operating in truth. Because the scripture says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Not with fear and manipulation have I drawn you. It says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And so we have to take that same mentality when it comes to how we talk to people. Because love is the antidote for effective evangelism. Love is the antidote. So when I say love is the antidote, well, all I'm saying is God is the antidote. Yes. So we have to understand what love is, who love is. Do you understand who love is? Because if you understand who love is, then you won't operate out of fear. You won't operate out of something that God did not give you. So it says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. It says, we are children of God. So if we go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says that we have received the Spirit, for the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, in which we cry, Abba, Father. So that scripture right there is saying that God is our Father. So it comes back and says it again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. It says, we are children of God. So it wants you to know who your Father is right off the bat. It wants you to know who your Father is. Because when you know who your Father is, then you will operate in that nature of who your Father is. Did you hear me? When you understand who your Father is, you will operate in the nature of who your Father is. So who is your Father? It says this, whoever is learning to know God, progressively to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him, listens to us. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the spirit of error is the spirit of fear. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I know you keep hearing me saying that, but I really want this to resonate in your spirit. Because the spirit of truth is love. Amen. The spirit of truth is love. Jesus, who is the truth? Jesus is. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me, right? So if Jesus is the truth, and Jesus and God are one, and God is love, then what does that make love? The truth. So when I try to manipulate people out of fear, I am in a spirit of error. When you try to manipulate people out of fear, well, if you don't come to church, then this is going to happen to your life. If you don't do this right, this is going to happen to your life. You are in the spirit of error. You are not in the spirit of truth, because the spirit of truth is God. The spirit of truth is Christ. The spirit of truth is love. So spiritual bullies who manipulate out of fear are often living in the fear that they try to manipulate others with. See, how you evangelize to people is how you have been evangelized to. How you evangelize to others is how you been evangelized to. So it's a pattern. So I do what I see, I do what has happened to me, and then I do to others what happened to me, right? But when I get into the Word of God and I understand the spirit of truth and I understand love, then I don't do what I thought was right. I do what the scripture says. I love my neighbor as I love myself. I love God with everything I have. I don't do as what somebody else taught me to do. I do as what the scripture taught me to do. And so we have to allow the scripture to really, see, a lot of times we do a lot of things out of tradition that's not even right. And we've done those things out of tradition so much that we made them non-effect. It has become of non-effect. And so what does non-effect mean? It's not effective. And so how we have been evangelized to, we evangelize to others. And so it's important that we allow the scripture to really revolutionize our mind to truth, because when I know the truth will make me free. It will make me free from what I thought was right. It will make me free from what somebody taught me out of the spirit of error. I will then allow my consciousness to be revolutionized to the spirit of truth, so I can help evangelize other people the proper way. Because the scripture says that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because the laborers have been taught the wrong way. So they've been taught the wrong way, so now they're trying to go out and get the harvest, but they're going out and trying to get the harvest the wrong way. They're trying to get the harvest through fear and not through love. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says this. It says, there is no fear in love, but full-grown love, so full-grown is complete, perfect, love turns out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So when there is fear there, then that means that I haven't allowed love to really come in and change my life, because I hadn't grown into complete and perfect love. So my love can be complete and perfect. But how can my love be complete and perfect? Through my relationship with Christ, through my relationship with God. So when my mind is focused on things above, then my whole life can switch to what's above. See, my confidence will be set on God. My understanding won't be set on what man says. My understanding will be set on what God says. And when my understanding is set on what God says, then my whole life can change. But when my understanding is set on what man says, guess what happens? We allow God only part of us and not allow God all of us. And then that fear creeps in. And when we're going through a pandemic like we're going through now, then fear is easily set upon a lot of people, because they hadn't allowed God to really come in and transform their life to love. So there's no fear in love. Say this with me. There's no fear,
in love.
So a perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So it says this in the Passion it says love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. So love, which is God, it gets rid of terror, because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with, man, am I being punished? Will this punish me? But love is not about punishment. Love is not about punishment. So number two, you taking notes, write this down. Thou should not be a spiritual bully, because we have to allow people the opportunity to grow in grace. Thou should not be a spiritual bully, because we have to allow people the opportunity to grow in grace. See, when you became saved, you didn't know everything at that one time, did you? No, you did not. You still don't know everything right now. So you have to grow in grace. So I shouldn't be a spiritual bully, because I need to allow other people to grow in grace. I need to allow other people to grow in grace. And when I allow people to grow in grace, then that allows me to grow in grace too. Because there's some things that I haven't learned that I still need to learn. There's some things you haven't learned that you still need to learn. So we have to allow people to grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. And this is what it says for time's sake. It says this. It says, as for you, divinely loved ones, since you are forewarned of these things, be careful that you are not a led, that you are not a, I'm just making up words now, you're not a, I'm going to make my own dictionary, remember, I'm going to make my own dictionary, not a, how will we define not a, N-O-T-T-A, is it not a, not a, which, how will we define that? Somebody taking notes, write down that word so we can make our own dictionary, right? Nada. So be careful that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your firm grip on the truth, but continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory both now and until the day eternity begins. Amen. It says this, but continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we have to allow people to grow in grace. See, sometimes I've heard spiritual bullies say, man, there's so much you got to learn. There's so much you don't know. Of course, I'm only 30. Of course, you're only 62. Of course, you're only 77. There's still so much to see. When you get into the Word, you understand, man, there's so much I don't know. And when you get even deeper into the Word, you understand, well, there's so much I don't know. And so what's happening is your spirit is becoming humbled. You are flowing in a spirit of humility because you understand that there's only one all-knowing God, and it's not you. And so when I get in the Word and understand that there's only one all-knowing God, then I allow myself to grow in grace because I have now humbled myself before the mighty hand of God. I'm not saying, God, I know more than you. I read your scripture. I read Psalms 1:1, and I know more than you now. No. What happens is the scripture has a way of humbling you, and when it humbles you, then you are then exalted because you didn't understand. So it's really oxymoron, right? Because when we humble ourselves, then God will exalt us. But when we exalt ourselves, then God will humble us, right? So when we think we know, then God was got something, a revelation to come and be like, man, there's so much we don't know. But when we humble ourselves, God will exalt us to know even more. So it's really a dichotomy there. It's really an oxymoron because it's like, okay, I humble myself and then God exalts me and gives me more revelation. But how did I get that revelation? I humbled myself. I didn't get that revelation by exalting myself, because when God exalts us, then he can then open our heart to more revelation of who he is. So that's why it's important for you to worship God for yourself. And not worship God for anybody else, because when you worship God for yourself, then you are looking into the face of God. You are saying, God, I want to be more like you. And so when we worship God, our face starts to look more like God. Our life starts to look more like God. More like God. We start to understand what truth is. We become set free from fear. We become set free from spiritual bullies. We become set free from what people may say or think or feel about us. Because it's not about what people say or think or feel about me. It's about what God says about me. So the scripture says we should live by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. And so God is a constant stream of life coming from God. Because God is life. God is love. God is light. God is life. Life. God is love. Love. God is light. Light. So the words that are coming out of God's mouth about you are life, because the scripture says the thoughts that God has about us, they outnumber the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. So that means that my life, that means that God's thoughts are not going to end when my life ends. Amen. So that means that when I transition from this part of life, then God is still going to be thinking about me. So you can't outlive the thoughts that God has for you. And so what type of thoughts does God has for you? God has thoughts that will give you a future, give you an expected end. It will give you hope. And so it's important that we humble ourselves so that God can exalt us when it comes to revelation knowledge. What is revelation knowledge? It's just revealed truth. It's just revealed truth. That's all it is. So listen to this. See, the more we learn and apply the word of God to our lives, the more we grow. See, God didn't call you to lord your growth over anybody. Well, look at me. I'm at this level now. And look at you. Ha! Look at where you're at. See, when we do that, then we really short-circuit ourselves. We short-circuit our lives because we're saying, well, I'm here. And you're there. So ha ha ha, you're there. You should be here. No, that's a spiritual bully mindset. That's a spiritual bully mindset. And so spiritual bullies make you feel shame and guilt for the level you have grown to in God. See, God didn't call us to make others feel shame and guilt for where they are in him. What? And it happens so much in church. I see it happen so much in church. I see it happen from pastors to pastors. I see it happen from pastors to members. I see it happen from members to pastors. I see it happen from members to members. And I see it happen from church people to the unchurched people. And that's one thing that really, I was talking to Brother John about this morning. That's really one thing that really really grinds my gears, if anybody watches Family Guy, right? Anything, something that really grinds my gears, right? Okay, let me break it down for you. That's really something that gets my goat, right? That don't make sense either? Okay, that's really something that really gets under my skin or makes my blood boil, right? We get it, right? I want to speak to all levels here. Yeah, I just don't want to speak to one level here. I don't want to just speak to one generation. I want to speak to all generations because God is a multi-generational God. So I had to make sure you're still awake here, okay? So I noticed some heavy stuff, so I want to make sure you're still awake. But one thing that really, really gets under my skin is when somebody in the church says something mean to somebody else. That really upsets me. Like, it really does something to me, like, right here, because I'm like, wow, your life is supposed to be revolutionized by love and truth, but yet here you are speaking hate words to your neighbor. Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Are you really applying this principle of loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Or are you behind the veil of saying you go to church, just to say you go to church, just to say you met your duty with Christ? I met my duty with God. I went to church today. I'm good in God's book. No, this church life, it takes a total life transformation. See, religion will teach you to just come, check your duties, do good, come to church, pay your tithes, go home. See, that's what the Pharisees did. They came, paid their tithes, but they didn't care about the other things like showing mercy to people and being kind-hearted to people. And so it's important that you allow God to really transform your life so you won't say nothing wrong to anybody. See, God doesn't want us to say mean stuff to people. He doesn't want us to say negative things to people because you never know how that may affect them. See, the words that you say, the words that you say to people, it may allow their anxiety level to go to 1,000. And guess what anxiety brings? Fear. Anxiety brings stress. Anxiety brings depression. So what are you saying to people? How are you treating people? Is your life really a representation of Christ? Is your life really a representation of love? Or is your life a representation of fear? Is your life a representation of hate? Is your life a representation of being mean? See, God doesn't want us to be mean. He wants us to love everybody as we love ourselves. As we love ourselves. So listen to this. When you are spiritually mature, you do not shame people for where they are. You love them as God loved you when you were not at the level you are now. It's a lot. That was a lot, right? Let me read it to you again. It says, when you are spiritually mature, you do not shame people for where they are. You love them as God loved you when you were not at the level you are now. And so how I talk to people now, I'm not going to shame people for where they are, because there was once a time I was where they were. And so since there was once a time I was once where they were, then I can now see how that person feels when something is said to them out of the way. I can see how that person feels. So God allows, God allows us to go through certain situations so that we can relate to people. So there's people that I can relate to that you can't relate to. There's people that you can relate to that I can't relate to. And so there's certain situations that I go through in order to show me how it feels to be the other person on the other side. See, when you come and beat somebody over the head with the Bible, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't. I've been there. So I know how it feels. Because when somebody tells you not to do something, guess what? Guess what happens? You're going to go do it. You're going to go do it. And so I've been on that side. See, I hadn't always been a pastor all my life. Now, the calling has been there, but I hadn't always been a pastor all my life. I haven't been Pastor J since I was a little baby. I'm always Lester Bell Jr. I will always be Lester Bell Jr. This just happened like, what, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. So they say, right? But I started ministering at 13. See, we have to allow, see, even Jesus had to grow. Even Jesus had to grow. And so if Jesus had to grow, what makes you feel like you don't have to grow? What makes you feel you have arrived and now you are the president of the Spiritual Country Club? What makes you feel like you have arrived? And so Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52, and we're going to end with this. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52. And we will be back Wednesday, because there's a lot more we got to dive into with this. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52. And it says this. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to worship at Jerusalem during the Passover festival. When Jesus turned 12, his parents took him to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, as was their custom. A full day after they began their journey home, Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus was missing. They had assumed he was somewhere in their entourage, but he was nowhere to be found. After a frantic search among relatives and friends, Mary and Joseph returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After being separated from him for 3 days, they finally found him in the temple, sitting among the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard Jesus speak were astounded at his intelligent understanding of all that was being discussed and at his wise answers to their questions. His parents were shocked to find him there, and Mary scolded him, saying, "Son, your father and I have searched for you everywhere. We have been worried sick over not finding you. Why would you do this to us?" Jesus said to them, "Why would you need to search for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my father's house, consumed with him?" Mary and Joseph didn't fully understand what Jesus meant. So I could see Mary and Joseph now like, what? What are you talking about? A house is like far from here. What are you talking about? So when I look at stuff, I look at it like I got a different viewpoint. Like I look at it like from a movie standpoint. I got like a movie. When I read the scripture, I see it like as a movie. And I can see Jesus now like, what? I'm here handling my father's business. And they like, but here your father right here. And so Mary and Jesus didn't fully understand what Jesus meant. Verse 51, Jesus went with them back home to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured Jesus' words deeply in her heart. As Jesus grew, so did his wisdom and maturity. The favor of men increased upon his life, for he was loved greatly by God. So that last part I want to highlight, verse 52. As Jesus grew, so did his wisdom and maturity. The favor of men increased upon his life, for he was greatly loved by God. So Jesus was 12 in this instance, right? We didn't see him again until 30. So that means that Jesus had to grow and develop for 18 more years. So the same goes for you. You have to grow and develop. You have to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And so when you humble yourself, then God can exalt you. You can find favor with men, and you can find favor with God, because God will greatly love you because you have not exalted yourself over anybody or over God. You have humbled yourself. And so it's important that you do not be a spiritual bully, because there's so much you have to learn. There's so much I have to learn. There's so much we have to learn. And always remember that we're equal at the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. So be here. Be here Wednesday night, because we have some more. We got to dive some more into this, because I really want you to get a revelation of this, because I don't want you to be a spiritual bully, because there are people coming to this house. I just had the dream the other night. There's people coming to this house that may not be at your spiritual level, and that's okay. And that's okay. We're called to love them. Amen. Our approach is called to be grace. Our identity is truth. We're founded on truth. For God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I really want you all to grasp this church rules. Thou shalt not be a spiritual bully. Thou shalt not be a Pharisee. Thou shalt not demonize secular places. Thou shalt not behave before thou get saved. Thou shalt not throw stones. Because when you understand how God's grace has saved you through faith, then you will allow God's grace to save others through faith. Because that's what it's about. It's not about you saving anybody. It's about Christ saving people. That's why he came. He didn't come to condemn. So if he didn't come to condemn, we shouldn't be condemning either. If you would stand to your feet this morning. And let's look from God in prayer. Let's commemorate this with prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We thank you for the word that has just gone forth. I pray, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, their mind and their hearts, Lord God, will be checked by you. And that they won't be spiritual bullies, Lord God, but they will be spiritually mature so that they can truly love people and truly teach others truth through their life. So, God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. We thank you for each and every person who has watched this or who will watch this in the future, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that their life will be transformed forevermore. So, God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are here this morning and you desire to be saved, you desire to know Christ for yourself, you desire to have a relationship with him. See your pastor's relationship isn't your relationship with God. See, you got to have